We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank.
Coming up, the latest episode of Beyond the Game.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Game, where we explore the mindset of life off the field and after the career. I'm your host, Kendall Gammon. Beyond the Game is made possible by Crown Automotive of Lawrence, Kansas, home to Crown Toyota and Crown Volkswagen. As always, thank you to Miles Schneer for supporting our mission to share these incredible stories with you. You visit crownautomotive.com and experience the Crown difference. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce my good friend, former Kansas City Chief defensive end from Boston University, Mr. Dave Lindstrom. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kendall. It's nice to be with you. And Miles and Crown Toyota, they are great people out there.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, it's no wonder that you know them, just like you know, quite honestly, everybody around here. You've been in the Johnson County area 40-plus years, is that right?
I've been here a long time, and I got to tell you, when I first came here, it was kind of an adjustment for me. I originally grew up in the Massachusetts area, went to Boston University, was drafted by the Chargers, was out at the West Coast for about a year and a half, 2 years. Came to the Midwest. I heard a lot about Kansas City, but had never been here. And when I got here, you'd have to get me out of here with dynamite. Now it's I love it here.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Let's go into that, and we're going to talk a little Chiefs before we get into some other stuff. But going to that, I've heard some unofficial reports that really Kansas City is the number one place in terms of franchise areas that players either stay in after their career or they come back to if they pass through here. I mean, we've got so many folks around here. It's really just a kind of it basically just talks about how good of area Kansas City is in the metro area.
Yeah, there's a couple things. Growing up in Boston, when anyone new comes into that community, it takes them a while to this was the significant difference that I noticed with the Midwest and the East Coast. But in Boston, when you come there as a newcomer, it takes a while for you to prove yourself worthy of what being welcomed to the section of town or the community that you're in. When you come to the Midwest, they accept you right away until you prove to them that you don't deserve their acceptance. And I really like that about the Midwest. And my wife is from Southern California. And the other thing about the Kansas City area, and I want to concur with what you said about a lot of people staying here once they come here to play for one of the sports franchises, is I think one of the things that attracts people is the cost of living and the quality of life. Your quality of life here is just phenomenal. And those are the things that attracted me.
Yeah, no, it really is amazing. Now we're going to get into a little bit of your mindset, you know, off the field. Everybody talks about everything that goes on the field, and that's fine. And we'll get into some things after your career as well. But, you know, we've got to talk about first our back-to-back Super Bowl champions and the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of just what they've done. I mean, what this era is and really how special it is.
Yeah, it's really tremendous. People I mean, for anyone who's been here a long time understands this, because there was a long drought between when Lamar Hunt first brought the team here, and they had some success in those early days. I came here in 1978, and from 78 on to the 90s, when actually the 2000s, there was a drought there of almost 50 years without a world championship. And now this community is spoiled, much like the New England community was spoiled under Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Kansas City is enjoying phenomenal success under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That it is, but to have five straight AFC championship representatives is really four Super Bowl appearances and three Super Bowl wins. That's remarkable, and it's we may have only hit the tip of the iceberg.
I would agree. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as Travis Kelce eventually moves on, and you have to go with another regime, not regime, but folks on the field. But, you know, we watched Tom Brady do it as well, like you mentioned, out in New England, and it is something special. I mean, this is definitely, in my mind, the reincarnation of the New England Patriots, with the exception of our head coach has a personality, so it works out a little bit better there. He's not watching this podcast, so I'm not worried about it. But all the same, you mentioned something I want to go into. I hadn't thought about it, but you were fortunate enough, drafted, as you said, I think in the seventh round. You get to Kansas City. You were around the late Lamar Hunt. I was fortunate enough to know him as well. This was one true gentleman in general, just of the world, and one innovator of the game for what it is today. I mean, the NFL, in my mind, owes what they are right now to Lamar Hunt. Is that a fair statement?
And a very fair statement. He started the league. You know, we all know, we've all heard of the stories about when he started the league, losing $1 million a year. And when his dad was asked the question, H.L. Hunt was asked the question, well, what do you think about your son started this new sports league up in Kansas City, and he's losing $1 million a year. And H.L. Hunt sits back in his chair, puts his legs up on a desk and says, that's kind of a shame. My son's going to be broke in about 100 years. And so, I mean, that gives you a little perspective. But Lamar was definitely a sportsman. I will tell you, I was a sixth-round draft pick for...
Oh, sorry about that.
Right, which is fine. But I was a journeyman, and I came here in 1978, and this is my very first game with the Kansas City Chiefs. We were playing in New York against the Giants, and I was so excited that when I got to the locker room, I saw a game jersey with my number 71 and my name on the back of the jersey. I was so excited. I had that jersey on, and I'm in the game. And we ended up, we weren't successful in that game. But after the game, the equipment manager comes up to me and said to me, Dave, I want to apologize. And his name was Bobby Yarbrough at the time. And I said, Bobby, would apologize for what? Because I'm a new player. I'm wondering what's going on. And he says, during the game, I get a call from the owner's box. The owner dialed down from his box, Lamar Hunt, called out to the equipment man and said, what's going on? Lindstrom's name is spelled wrong on his jersey. I didn't even know it. I was so excited to get my jersey. I didn't know it spelled L-I-N-D-S-T-R-O-M is the correct spelling. L-I-N-D-S-T-R-U-M was what Bobby Yarbrough put on my jersey. Lamar from the press, from his owner's box, not only did he notice it, but he called down to the equipment manager and chewed him out for it. And I, wearing the jersey, didn't even recognize that that was the case. That's the kind of guy that Lamar Hunt was.
That is amazing. That reminds me that during my career, I went on the, at the time, 810, the Jason Whitlock show. And at the time, Jason Whitlock and the Chiefs didn't get along that great. That's an understatement. I didn't know any better. I just got asked to go on, and so I did. And then I became a regular on there. They allowed me. They saw that I handled myself okay. But I remember Lamar coming to me one day in the locker room and saying that on Tuesdays, our day off, and that's when I would go in. He goes, sometimes I'll stay in my car, Kendall, and listen because I enjoy how you handle Jason and how you deal with things. And I mean, I was a long snapper. I was a backup lineman. I mean, he had no reason to know my name except that's who he was. I mean, just the true gentleman. And
not,
I mean,
Kendall, his wife, Norma, who
was
here.
Right.
I can remember each year back in the day when there weren't a lot of alumni.
Right.
He would have everyone into the owner's suite for one game a year, the alumni game. And it was nice to have the wives up there.
Right.
You know, of course, the players were at the game. We were playing. So I wasn't taking place in this, but I saw pictures and heard about it. And Norma would know everyone's name and a little bit about she was what I will call class personified.
Yeah.
She was a wonderful lady. And I can't say enough good things about the Hunt family in particular. The founder, Lamar Hunt, and his wife, lovely wife, Norma.
Yeah, you know, we could go on and on. She was the first lady of football. There's no doubt about it. Now, you mentioned the fact that during your years and there's a drought and you didn't play that well. Talk to me about your mindset, not really on the field. I mean, you know what you're doing there, you're going after, but how, as a player, number one, you deal with it being a sixth round. You said sixth round pick. I apologize. Yeah, sixth round pick. So a little bit lower down the pecking order, and then the fact that maybe you're not doing it as well. I mean, do you remember the type of thoughts you were having back then?
Well, absolutely. You know, when any journeyman is there, if you're not a first or second round draft pick, you fight for your job and to stay employed every single, not every day, every play. In the off season, you better prove to people that you are interested and you're dedicated and you're committed to what your task is. And, you know, the first and second round draft picks have that same mindset, too. But it's a little bit more secure for those guys. And I remember when I first came to the Chiefs, you know, they had just drafted Art Still. And Art Still was the first round draft pick, second pick in the draft behind Earl Campbell. And then they also brought, the second round pick was a defensive end, Sylvester Hicks, out of Tennessee State, and Art's out of Kentucky. And then they also brought in as a free agent, Stan Johnson, who was a second round pick for the Los Angeles Rams the year prior. So they had these three outstanding defensive ends, and I'm coming in as a defensive end as well. And then We had a modicum of success. Marv Levy was the coach the first year, and there was some growing pains there. The next year, Marv Levy's the coach, and they draft Mike Bell, second pick in the draft. The first pick was Bob Cousineau, and he goes to Canada. So Mike was actually the very first NFL pick in the draft. So he went out with all these defensive ends, and you ask about what my mindset was. I'm thinking, what am I, chop liver here? I said, they keep bringing all these top defensive ends in. I said, my time here is short. And one thing I also always will have fond memories of Marv Levy, but Marv sensed my attitude. I don't think I exuded anything, but or displayed anything that was bad, but he called me up to his office, and I'm thinking, oh no, maybe I'm getting the pink slip today. And he did. He sat me down and he said, listen, Dave, we like you. We understand how you may be having thoughts about what's going on here with all these defensive ends here and these two top first round picks coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We like what you do. You keep doing what you're doing. You're going to be here for a long time. Just don't get discouraged. And I thought that was, I walked out of there like I was on cloud nine, because not only was he aware of my situation, but he was willing to say to his players who, you know, weren't the top frontline players or in their plans, that you're going to be here for a long time and we like what you do. And I ended up playing 9 years, eight with the Chiefs, and I may have been able to play several more years because I had an opportunity to go into Burger King restaurants, and I was fortunate, very fortunate in my career to be one of a very few number of players who play in the NFL to choose to leave the game on my terms and not be cut, replaced, or injured and have to leave under those circumstances.
Yep, you cut to what I was going to talk about after the break. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to explore that some more.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. kcsn.substack.com.
For all your new Toyota or Volkswagen needs, look no further than Miles Schneer's Crown Automotive in Lawrence, Kansas. Call 785-843-7700 or visit them online at crownautomotive.com. Crown Automotive. Experience the crown difference.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, as you just heard there, KCSN doing some great work, and thank you to BJ Kissel and Tucker Franklin and everybody who helps put somebody like me on and tell these stories, because I think they're great, and it's some great insight. So, Dave, you got into what I was going to go into anyhow, which is you did something that actually that I did as well. After 15 seasons, I was asked to continue to play, and I chose not to. Now, it was more because, quite honestly, I feel like mentally, I was starting to crack a little bit, some things we won't go into today, but you had an opportunity with Burger King. Just talk about that, because that's unique, and I don't think many people know that.
Yeah, I when I first came to the Chiefs, I went up to talk to the general manager, and I asked him, I said, I'd like to get involved with real estate. And so he connected me with some folks in Kansas City, in particular, Chuck Hunter. He used to primary of one of the principals for Kessinger Hunter Real Estate. So I ended up visiting with him and many other commercial realtors in town. But during the off season, every off season, I worked with Kessinger Hunter, and I didn't make a lot of money doing that. But it was like graduate school for me, and learning about business and real estate, because I grew up in a blue collar family. My education I was trained to be a teacher, and I thought I was going to be a physical education teacher or biology teacher coming out of college. But I had this yearning to know a little bit more about business. So in the off season, I worked for Kessinger Hunter for years. But at the end of my career, I knew that, with 15 years, that's amazing. After 9 years, your body takes a beating. And it takes longer each year between the end of the season and the beginning of the training camp to recover. And I was feeling aches and joints and pains and other places. And I thought, I need to get myself healthy. But this Burger King, there weren't many, if any, Burger King restaurants in the metropolitan area, and so I explored how I could go about doing that. And ironically, my coach at the time with the Chiefs was Walt Corey. Walt Corey, I was talking to him about this and said, I'm thinking of exploring becoming a franchisee for Burger King. He said, now, let me call a buddy of mine. And I said, well, who's your buddy? And he said, Jim Otto, Hall of Famer from the Oakland Raiders. I said, wow. Oh, someone from the Raiders? And he says, yeah, one of my college teammates played for the Raiders, and he has several Burger King restaurants. So he gave me Jim Otto's number. Jim Otto, he could not have been nicer. I get on the phone with him, and, you know, Jim had had several surgeries. And I said, Jim, I just watched a special on you for HBO called Disposable Heroes, and you're an NFL Hall of Famer, and you have a hard time getting in and out of bed. It looks like you have to have a crane just to get yourself out of bed. And Jim is still living today and doing well in the Bay Area. Jim said to me, yes, you know, I have no problem with what's happened to me. And I said, mm-hmm. Had to do it all over again, would you still do it? He said, Dave, you're a Kansas City Chief. I'm an Oakland Raider. You're a defensive lineman. I'm an offensive lineman. If I had to do it all over again, I'd be in Kansas City kicking your you-know-what right now. But Jim Otto, he coached me through and helped me become a franchisee that ended up owning four of my own restaurants, and I did that for 25 years after my retirement. I ended up choosing Burger King said, we will approve you, but you have to run these restaurants full time. So we understand that you play for the NFL, but until we see in the transactions that you have announced your retirement, we're not going to fill out the paperwork for you to become a franchisee. So I ended up talking to Coach Makovic at the time and telling him what the situation was. He said, Dave, as your coach, I do not want you to retire. I want you to stay here. We need you. But as a friend, he said, these opportunities come along very seldom. So I don't know what to tell you, but I ultimately made up my mind to go ahead and announce my retirement and develop four restaurants over the next 25 years.
Well, that is wildly interesting, and thank goodness Whataburger doesn't have that same policy now, because we would have an issue. For those of you who don't know, and I can't imagine anybody doesn't know, but Patrick Mahomes, of course, is intertwined with Whataburger, and that is his choice, and that's why they came to Kansas City. There's no doubt. It's amazing to me, and this is something that I don't think people always understand, is even today, but back then, certainly, with the exception of a few starting, back then, even with the stars, you didn't have generational money. These days, if you're a star, whatever, you may get generational money, but everybody else, you're going to have to do something afterwards. For me, after 15 years, I still had to do something else, and I was 15 years behind. I just think it's interesting, even in that day and age to this day and age, I mean, this day and age, if somebody wanted to get involved with it, they would see that as a plus, and they would want people probably involved in the NFL as long as possible, whereas yours was the complete opposite. Did you just sit down and make a list of pros and cons? And, I mean, basically your generational money, a lifetime, became Burger King as opposed to the NFL.
Yeah, I struggled with the decision for a long time, and I learned a lot of lessons. I made the decision to commit to Burger King because I thought it was the long-term prudent thing to do. NFL, 100% of the players are injured during their career. I had been very fortunate. I have had some injuries. I've had some surgeries, but nothing I couldn't get through. But I was playing the odds. I was at the roulette table, I was betting on black, and I was hitting black quite a bit. So I thought, you know, maybe it's time for me to cash in my chips and go this Burger King route. But here's the interesting thing, and as you talk about the finances of players in those days, I had been pretty prudent in saving my dollars. Wasn't extravagant, didn't live an extravagant life, my wife and I, and didn't have any. We were just working hard and saving hard. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realize is the bureaucracy and red tape of getting approvals to develop and build restaurants and get permits for restaurants through the municipalities was tremendously difficult. And I didn't realize that there are people who disagree with what you're trying to accomplish. There, for example, my first restaurant, there was some individuals who didn't want a drive-through speaker anywhere near their homes.
Oh, wow.
Drive-through or a speaker. So I had to fight those battles, and I did. And it actually took, after my retirement in 1986, it took till 1988 to open my first restaurant, and I wasn't creating any income. I was just generating expenses.
And wow.
By the time, after a nine-year career, by the time we opened our first restaurant, my wife and I were down to our last $5,000 in the bank. And fortunately,
man,
we opened, and things turned around very quickly for us. But I was wondering where I was going and whether I made the right decision and what the outcome of this all was going to be. So it was very tough at first, but
right.
I restaurant and the transition became very seamless. I enjoyed working with the municipalities on future restaurants, and that's actually how and why I got an interest in becoming involved politically. And was my experience, my personal experience, dealing as a business person with people in elected office that sometimes I thought didn't understand what it takes to sign the back of a check in the front of the check.
You read my mind, because I was going to go there with that, of what you're doing today and what you did after that, which is you've been interested in the political system of things. You're one of these guys around here that knows everybody. You're on different boards. You were on the KTA, I think. I don't know if you still are or not. Maybe the Kansas Learning Center. Just, I think folks would be interested to hear what you're doing now, because it's very diverse, in my opinion.
Yeah. I grew up a blue-collar family and didn't have a lot and was very appreciative of everything I did have. And the opportunity to play in the professional ranks was more than a dream for me. I would say that of all the people in my high school, all the people in my college that started out, who they would have predicted would make it in the NFL, I might be last on both of those lists. And so I was very appreciative of the opportunities I had. So I believe in the philosophy, to those whom much is given, much is expected. I thought that if I, and I know you have this attitude as well, Kendall, that it's a privilege to play in the NFL. It's a privilege right. to have an opportunity to start your own and own your own business. It's a privilege to live in the Kansas City metropolitan area. And so I was very cognizant of giving back. I was involved for decades with the Kansas Special Olympics. I was there. Board chair for several years. I've been on that board for several decades. I'm retired from that board now. I've been involved with a number of things. When the ambassador started in 89, I was excited about that. And you're vice president of the ambassadors now. So that's a great group. But I have been involved in many boards. I recently just went off the Kansas Turnpike board. I was on that board for about 7 or 8 years, was chair of that board for 3 of those years. Currently, I'm serving on the board for the Kansas Leadership Center and was chair of that organization for about 7 or 8 years. And so I'm starting to wind down a little bit on those things. But I do think it's very important to lend your services, connect whoever you have to help some of these other organizations to do those type of things. And again, getting back to those who have been given much, and I consider myself to have been given a lot, giving back to the community and to those who need it more than I do.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well, we're getting close to the end of our time. I want to ask you just kind of a two-part question before we let you go, which is, as you look back over your career, what can you come up with one high, one big thing that you really remember, and then maybe one low that you remember, but the, also you were able to overcome?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we had a really, you know, we didn't have the greatest record during my time as a Kansas City
right.
team, But we had good teams, and I think we had some good coaches too. Marv Levy, who's a NFL Hall of Famer, he was a coach here, and we had a lot of pride and representatives on the Players Association as members of the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom Condon was vice president of the union, and we were a very strong union team here at the, during the time that I was here. And we were pretty good. We went into one of the years 6-2, and then there was a strike, and we didn't. We came back, and we were told by Tom, our representative, that it wasn't a good agreement, and so our guys weren't real pleased about the agreement, and it reflected on the last half of our season. We ended up 7-9 for that season after starting 6-2, and so you know I'm a little bit disappointed that we weren't more successful. But the strong memories for me is always playing and usually being successful and playing well personally against my former team that drafted me, the Chargers. I always enjoyed playing those guys. And I know you played for a couple teams too. And it's always fun to play against your former teammates. And when you're successful, that's even cream on the top.
That is awesome. Well, Dave, we appreciate it. We will let you go here, but as always, I thank you. You're a mentor. You're more of a mentor to me and a lot of people than you even realize. And I know you would eschew the attention, but just know that's true. And for those out there, if you want to follow me on Facebook, on X, on LinkedIn, it's at Kendall Gammon, or Instagram, it's at Kendall Gammon 83. As always, Beyond the Game is made possible by our generous sponsor, Miles Schneider, Crown Automotive of Lawrence, Kansas, and home to Crown Toyota and Crown Volkswagen. Visit them online at crownautomotive.com and to experience the Crown difference. And I'm glad today we got to experience the Dave Lindstrom difference. So, Dave, thank you so very much for joining me today.
Keep up the great work, Kendall. It's a pleasure to be here with you.